Here's a fact that should make every executive uncomfortable. In 1863, the Paris Salon rejected Edouard Manet's Luncheon on the Grass. The painting that would revolutionize art was dismissed as scandalous nonsense. Meanwhile, Jean-Louis Ernest Meissonier, a painter now largely forgotten, was celebrated as a master. This wasn't an isolated mistake. Alfred Wegener's continental drift theory, ridiculed for decades. Barry Marshall's discovery that bacteria cause ulcers, called too weird before winning the Nobel Prize. Airbnb, passed over by investors who missed a $3.1 billion return. The pattern is clear and disturbing. Experts consistently reject the innovations that transform their fields. Why? Research reveals the earned dogmatism effect. The more expertise we accumulate, the more closed-minded we become. We don't just resist new ideas, we systematically punish the people who generate them. Creative individuals face what researchers call a leadership potential penalty. They're labeled visionary, but also quirky, unfocused, nonconformist, compliments wrapped in warnings. Meanwhile, our education system trains this resistance into us from childhood. Ken Robinson observed that every child is an artist until schools teach them otherwise. Watch adults attempt a simple drawing exercise, and they'll apologize before their pen touches paper. Children, they display their work with pride. The cruel irony is that we need creativity now more than ever, yet we've built organizations designed to suffocate it. Leonardo da Vinci would have been fired from most modern corporations. He procrastinated constantly, abandoned projects midstream, and obsessed over details until patrons lost patience. Yet his chaotic process produced genius precisely because he refused linear thinking. Today's managers worship the opposite. Plan meticulously, then execute flawlessly. They spend months building forecasts that reality demolishes within weeks. As Mike Tyson put it, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Apple's mouse exemplifies a better way. Jim Yurchenko didn't start with detailed blueprints. He grabbed a butter dish from Walgreens, combined it with a roll-on deodorant ball, and started testing. Through rapid prototyping with everyday objects, his team created a device that defined computing for decades. The Marshmallow Challenge reveals why organizations struggle with experimentation. Business students assess, plan, and build elaborate structures before placing the marshmallow on top and watch everything collapse. Elementary school children grab the marshmallow first, experiment constantly, and usually win. They don't overthink. They learn by doing. Einstein said, "Those who walk alone find unexplored places," yet organizations compulsively benchmark competitors and converge on similar strategies. While benchmarking can improve operations, Cincinnati Children's Hospital dramatically improved cystic fibrosis care this way, it rarely produces strategic advantage. As Gary Hamel warns, strategies converge because success recipes get lavishly imitated. Real differentiation requires becoming more lopsided, not well-rounded. Still, manufactures in-house and refuses big-box retailers, preserving quality while competitors chase volume. Steve Jobs understood this. "I'm actually as proud of the things we haven't done as the things we have done." Smart organizations seek inspiration outside their industry. Reebok found inspiration in inflatable splints and IV bags, creating the revolutionary pump to compete with Nike's Air Jordan. Planet Fitness broke industry norms entirely, offering pizza and bagels while discouraging bodybuilders. Their genius? Defining competition not as other gyms, but as Chili's and movie theaters, the leisure activities preventing people from exercising. We're addicted to forecasting despite overwhelming evidence of failure. Hollywood studios produced Jiggly while rejecting Star Wars and Raiders of the Lost Ark. Philip Tetlock's 21-year study tracking 284 experts delivered a damning verdict. The average expert did about as well as random guessing. Yet he discovered super forecasters who consistently outperformed without specialized knowledge. Their secret wasn't intelligence, but mindset. They questioned sources, treated beliefs as testable hypotheses, and updated conclusions as facts changed. Our prediction obsession kills creativity through arbitrary revenue targets. Executives demand innovations that move the needle, often requiring $50 million in sales. Disney, under Michael Eisner, illustrates the danger. After spectacular growth, he committed to unsustainable 20% annual targets, pursuing problematic acquisitions that damaged the company. Consider Trader Joe's. No promotions, coupons, loyalty cards, advertising, or national brands. Most investors would pass. Yet it's America's most beloved supermarket, leading in customer satisfaction and sales per square foot. Joe Coulomb spent 22 years reaching just 30 locations. Creative ideas need time to flourish, something prediction-obsessed executives rarely allow. Leaders obsess over organizational charts, believing the right structure will unleash innovation. As journalist Charlton Ogburn noted, we meet new situations with reorganization, creating the illusion of progress at a mere cost of confusion, inefficiency, and demoralization. Zappos exemplifies this trap. After CEO Tony Hsieh embraced holacracy in 2012, eliminating traditional hierarchies and all people managers, nearly one-third of employees departed. Zappos plummeted from #6 to #86 on Fortune's Best Companies to Work For list before disappearing entirely. Many leaders view hierarchy as creativity's enemy, yet research shows well-designed hierarchies actually promote innovation by keeping teams aligned during disagreements. Despite this, only 16 to 33% of reorganizations deliver improved results. Why? Redrawing boxes is easier than addressing deeper issues. Google's Project Aristotle found that how people interact matters far more than who is on the team, with psychological safety being most critical. Pixar's Brain Trust exemplifies this. Peers review films with honest feedback, vested interest in mutual success, and no management override. Work design, meaning meaningful projects, autonomy, diverse skills, clear feedback, trumps organizational charts in fostering creativity. Creative breakthroughs require both intense focus and deliberate distance. Artists from U2 to Bob Dylan have secluded themselves for groundbreaking work, reflecting Picasso's belief that without great solitude, no serious work can be done. Research confirms multitasking severely impairs performance. Workers switch activities every 3 minutes and take 23 minutes to refocus. Yet creativity also thrives on deliberate unfocus. Tolkien worked on The Lord of the Rings for 17 years, alternating between intense writing and lengthy breaks. Mark Twain abandoned Huckleberry Finn for 7 years before completing it with renewed energy. Psychological distance enhances creativity. 48% solved a prison escape puzzle imagining themselves trapped, while 66% succeeded helping someone else escape. The Beatles' 1968 Rishikesh trip produced approximately 30 songs for the White Album and Abbey Road. The best creative thinkers toggle between intense focus and deliberate unfocus. Maria Montessori believed a teacher's first task is to stimulate life, leaving it then free to develop. Jennifer Doudna's path from exploring Hawaii's sleeping grass to Nobel Prize winner began with wondering, how does that work? Neuroscientist Matthias Gruber's research shows curiosity activates dopamine pathways and the hippocampus, enhancing memory for both interesting and unrelated material. Leaders nurture curiosity by encouraging questions over answers. Canadian teacher Patty Firth creates wonder walls where students post questions beginning with, I wonder. When she stopped answering immediately, they started learning faster. Students who read about scientists' failures achieved higher grades than those who only read success stories. Sarah Blakely's father celebrated her failures, high-fiving her when she tried something new. Great teachers set high expectations while expressing genuine confidence. When middle school students received feedback noting, I have very high expectations and I know that you can reach them, they revised essays at significantly higher rates. The leader's role isn't having all the answers. It's nurturing curiosity, dismantling barriers, and transforming limiting mindsets. Creativity isn't something we inject into people. It's already there, waiting to be unlocked.